time for our weekly Suburban Farm Yarn with actor, activist and Green Thumb storyteller Monica Main. Today, Monica and I will be discussing all things fruit trees. Good morning, Mon. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great. What a beautiful day.
I know. First of the month.
We're in Gilba.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous. It's the Noongar season, August, September. So it's everything's bursting with life. Old world term, spring. But it's the Noongar season of Gilba. So it's the most glorious day outside. That's what we have. Beautiful crisp mornings, beautiful, glorious sunny days. Yes, fruit trees. Have you got a year to talk? Obviously, there's so much to cover. We can't talk about every fruit tree ever. So I'm going to talk about a show bag of fruit trees. Do you like stone fruits, Maddie?
Love stone fruits. Nectarines, yeah. Peaches, plums, apricots, yum. So good.
Well, the interesting thing about nectarines, apricots and peaches is scrummy, absolutely scrummy, but they are what's called self-pollinating. So the tricky thing about some fruit trees is you need two to get fruit. Now, nectarines and apricots and peaches, as I said, self-pollinate. So you can have one nectarine tree and its flowers will pollinate themselves and it'll set fruit. But apples and pears and plums need two different varieties. Now, I don't mean you can't cross-pollinate between species. So you can't have an apple and a pear and get something. You need two sorts of apples and two varieties. I mean, you could get an apple and a crab apple, but they're kind of related. So it does sound a bit complicated, but I'm just letting people know so that when you're aware, because now's a really nice time to go out and buy fruit trees. Dwarf fruit trees are amazing because you do get fruit, but you can grow them in a pot. And so if you're renting or in a small space, you can definitely grow a dwarf fruit tree in a pot. And then if you move, you can take it with you. But they're also, they grow to a really reasonable height. So they're really easy to access the fruit. So the only apples that, of course, there's always exceptions in nature, isn't there? So the only apple and pear trees you can grow without having two varieties is a Golden Delicious. So a Golden Delicious and a Bartlett pear, so Golden Delicious apple or a Bartlett pear, they are the exceptions to the rules. You can just have one of them and the flowers on those will pollinate each other. But if you want other varieties of apple, you need two different sorts. The same with plums. So interestingly enough too, there's two different sorts of sort of groups, families of plums. There's the Japanese plums and the European plums. We tend to grow the Japanese plums in Perth because they can withstand the heat. So you can think of things like the Santa Rosa or the Narambeen or the Satsuma or the Mariposa. Anyway, they're the ones you'll see in the veggie shops. But once again, you need two varieties. So, and European plums are great for like greengage. They're sort of ones that grow in England and Europe, and they're great for making prunes. So I'm just, if you're going, oh my God, I can't remember all of this, just remember that you need two varieties. So when you go to your nursery and you want to buy some, just be aware you're going to need two. So some people get two varieties of apple or plum or pear and just stick them both in the same hole when they're planting them in the garden, or definitely, you know, plant them near each other because they do need to cross-pollinate with each other. You can get what's called fruit salad plants where you get a few different varieties grafted onto one little trunk. But you need to be careful because sometimes you can have a more vigorous variety that can sort of take over the whole plant and you can lose. So you sort of have to be good at pruning to keep each of those varieties in check on that one stem. And the interesting thing, Maddie, is you can grow fruit trees from the pip of a fruit tree, but they don't grow true. So if you eat the most delicious peach in the world and think, wow, I want to grow that, you plant that pip, you're not going to necessarily get that one you just eaten. They don't grow true. And so when you buy fruit tree peoples, that's why you get the variety you want, which is grafted onto a particular nice vigorous root stock. So they're grown from cuttings, basically, which are grafted onto a root stock. If you grow something from a seed, like a fruit tree or an avocado, same thing. Avocado, you get that pip, you're going to get a plant, but it's not going to be the same as the fruit that it's the seeds from. They don't grow true. That's why when you buy fruit trees, they're grafted. So they're, you know what you're getting. That growing plant on the top of that rootstock is the grit that's grafted on, and it's the variety you're buying. Now, do you like avocados, Maddie?
Love avocados. They're great.
So the interesting, avocados are another, this is where we get kooky plants. Avocados, there's two sorts of cultivars, two different types of avocados. And they're what is classified into type A and type B. So type A, you would have heard of Hass avocados. They're everywhere. And there's lesser known ones like Reed and Rincon and Wurtz. And then there's type B, the Fuerte, which has got the nice smooth skin, or a Sharwell or a Shepherd. The Sharwell looks like a Fuerte. It's got a long, smooth skin, but a smaller pip. Anyway, you need, for avocados, you need a type A and a type B. Like the apples, you need two different varieties. Same with avocados. You need a variety, type A and a type B, to cross-pollinate so the fruit sets. But, of course, there's one exception, isn't there? Hass avocados are unique because they self-pollinate. So if you just want to have one avocado tree, go out and buy Hass. And that's why there's so many Hass. They're the main ones you buy in the supermarket. You know, they've got the kind of the rough, pimply skin, the barky sort of skin. And so they self-pollinate. And another amazing thing about avocados is they're regarded, the flowers are regarded as perfect because they have the male and female reproductive organs in them. And so, like, a Hass is unusual because when it first, the flower opens in the morning, they're female until they close. And then the next day when they open up, they're male. And so that's why they can self-pollinate. So, yeah, I mean, we could just keep talking about how extraordinary flowers are on fruit trees. But maybe you've got some questions, Maddie.
That's so cool. No, I'm just sitting back and listening, Mon, because every time you come on, I always learn so much about whatever topic it is we're talking about. But here I am thinking, oh, I thought Hass avocado, you know, was just named after someone. It just had a specific name. But I didn't realize Hass and Shepherd. Of course, you've got the Hass avocado, which is a bit more bubbly and textured on the skin. But that Shepherd avocado is something that's a bit more smoother and rounder. Mm-hmm. And of course, as you were saying, to sort of plant avocados in that sense, you need a type A and a type B, the two varieties which make an avocado tree, which is so interesting because I just thought, you know, go off and plant your avocado seed or go off and plant your peach seed or whatever. But there's actually a little bit of more of a process that goes into it as opposed to just planting the one seed. There's that A and that B, or the two different varieties, which is really interesting.
You also won't get a fruiting tree for like 10 to 15 years. That's why it's great to get a grafted fruit tree, because you're going to get fruit in three or four years. So it just speeds up the process, basically. So once again, you do need to be patient. And the key about, because fruit trees, their flowers need to be pollinated by insects, you really, the more flowers you've got, so if you've just got your lone plum trees or avocado tree in a pot on your veranda, and there's no other flowering plants around it, you're going to be less likely to get pollination. That's why it's always, you should just plant flowers in your garden, because that's going to attract insects. If you have flowers on your veranda or your porch or your balcony, even if you're in a flat, it's going to attract insects. So any little fruit tree you've got growing in a pot, it's more likely to get fertilized. The flowers are more likely to get fertilized the more insects you can attract to your little garden or your big garden. So any sorts of flowers as well, you know, you don't just have to have a giant orchard. You could have your two apple trees in pots and then grow lots of flowers around them as well. And it's kind of like strength in numbers. The more flowers, the more insects, the more likely cross-pollination is going to happen. And, of course, flowers are really pretty, and I encourage that as well because they make you feel good.
You're on the record with Maddie Lombardi, and I'm joined by Monica Main this morning, and we're chatting all about fruit trees. Now, Mon, Oh, just had another couple of questions come in. I've got a first question from Tian. So Tian asks, what does it mean when you have plenty of fruit, but the tree has dropped all of its leaves? And she wants to know if it's a winter thing or if it's something that happens naturally during some seasons. So what does it mean?
Fruit tree.
Yeah, there was no specific tree in mind, but I think fruit tree in general, I don't know if there's kind of a...
Common trend? A citrus tree will fruit and there'll be leaves, like they're evergreen. So you're going to have your fruit and your leaves on all year round. Stone fruits drop their leaves. Now, if she's got an apple tree, there could still be a few late season apples hanging on there wanting to ripen up on the tree. It's a bit tricky. I mean, like all your stone fruits, etc., they're all deciduous. Mango trees are not deciduous. I mean, some trees, that fruit trees, that if they drop their leaves, they've gone through a shock. I would like to know from Tian what sort of fruit tree it is. It could be okay, but it could be going through some sort of root shock. I'm not sure. It's a bit of a mystery. I'm dying to know what sort of a fruit tree it is. So maybe we'll find out next time. But obviously, if there's fruit on the tree, that's a good thing. You can eat that fruit, hopefully, unless it's some sort of ornamental fig tree or something. That's a bit of a mystery. Let's try the next question, shall we?
Yeah, a bit of a mystery. Okay, so Brendan asks, can you ask Monica, how do I go about pruning an old muscat grapevine?
Okay, so grapevines, great time to prune grapevines now. You can cut, if it's really old, that, I mean, I'm presuming it hasn't been pruned in a few years. You want the new growth to grow out of old wood. So where it, you know, you want to, where it's, if it's really, really, you've got really, really long spurs, they're the, like the long kind of, well, they're not really branches, but the vine, the woody vine, you want to cut it right back. You can cut into that hard old wood, but you want to leave a few buds. You'll see the little buds where the new growth's going to come. Leave two or four buds. So, but I mean, with a very old grapevine, you can prune them really hard and they will grow back. And you can get cuttings off a grapevine that are sort of 30 to 40 centimetres long, and you'll see the little buds on, you know, the bits where the buds are going to grow out. Every 10 centimetres or so, you'll see this kind of lumps where a little shoot will grow out either side. And you can grow cuttings really easily from grapevine cuttings. So if you prune that muscat, I did this with my old grapevine. I took a whole lot of cuttings. Like, you can get like four and just stick them in a pot, and they will grow. And they'll put down roots and they'll grow this year. And you can give them to people as presents. I've got a grapevine I've got in my backyard that I grew from the old grapevine that was in my front garden. I gave cuttings to my brother. I've given cuttings to my niece. And they're all growing. So a vigorous old muscat vine will give you joy, and you can spread the love. And interestingly enough, with a grapevine cutting, you can put them in upside down and they'll still grow, which is kind of crazy. But anyway, but yeah, I'd encourage you to keep some of those cuttings and grow some more plants.
Amazing. We have another question from Harry. Harry asks, we want to prune back an orange that is on the ground so we can cover as pygmy. Medfly is bad in South Perth. When is it best, and are there any sources for reliable help on the net about how to prune it right ourselves?
So you said something about orange tree on the ground. Sorry.
Yeah. So hang on. It says prune back an orange that that is on the ground so we can cover it as a pygmy. So I think, yeah, and they're also talking about how medfly is bad in South Perth as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get really fine netting. I know there's so many things that can attack. There's the ball wasp as well that cause those horrible sort of lumps on the gall wasp causes lumps on you on your citrus trees as well, and they got introduced to WA in 2013, so they haven't been here forever. They've only been in recent years in some ways. The key is, like, if you can prune your citrus trees any time of year, sort of to tidy them up or reduce the growth. I mean, the thing is, if you prune them really hard now, they're going to start blossoming now because they finished their winter fruit. you'll notice on, you know, limes and oranges and lemons, they're all starting to flower now. So just be aware, any branches you cut off with flowers on, you're not going to get, you know, you want to keep some of those flowers because you want to keep some fruit. But it's just about keeping them to a height that's manageable for you. So you prune them from the outer of the branch in, and, you know, you want air circulating. That's a great way of deterring insects. Insects love it where it's nice and sort of moist and dark, and so you want to have air circulating. So, and it might take a couple of years to get the right shape of your citrus tree. It's a good idea to go down the rabbit hole on the net, but, you know, look at a few different pruning sites, because that's the only way you're going to get your knowledge. Not, you know, it's about having a look. See, there's good things on YouTube about how to prune as well. You can see, mind you, some people just go on, and like you could show someone in 2 minutes instead of 10 minutes. But anyway, just be patient. But a citrus tree, even if you prune it hard, it will burst back. And the key is to be fertilizing now, because this is as they're coming up to grow. And of course, the key is with anything, phosphorus is the key. It's responsible for flowering. So the flowers, if you feed your plant with phosphorus, you'll get flowers and fruit and seeds. So you do need phosphorus for good flower growth on your fruit trees and your citrus plants. And potassium strengthens the plants, and it makes fruit sweeter and juicier. And the nitrogen, of course, is great for leaves. You need leaves for chlorophyll and photosynthesis. So, but blood and bone and chook manure is a great organic fertiliser for your fruit trees as well. So, but good luck with that, Harry. You want to kind of try and keep a shape of your fruit tree. I wish I could show you a drawing on over the radio, but I can't. But certainly there is a lot of information on the net, so take courage and have a good sticky beak.
Wouldn't it be great if we could just visually show someone something whilst we're trying to explain it on radio? Mon, just before you go, we have one final question before we wrap up. Chris asks, what do you think about Malathion spray for fruit trees and medfly?
Oh, yeah, that's quite toxic. But that's the thing. The fruit trees in Perth, particularly apricot trees, they're prone to fruit fly. So you do need to spray. There are some sprays that are less harmful. Some of them, there's antifungals, there's fruit fly, there's funguses, there's fruit fly, there's other flying insects. That's why very fine netting. Some people really net their fruit trees really finely to just try and keep out the fruit flies in an organic way. And also, try not to have a monoculture. If you've just got one lone, you know, a few lone trees in your backyard, they're going to be more prone to pests, because that's all there is. That's why if you've got a lots of variety of flowers and other things in your plant, in your garden, that's going to be a real distraction for fruit flies as well. And you have to be quite diligent. I find citrus trees are less prone to fruit fly. But like I say, the more variety of plants you have in your garden, the healthier your garden, the less one plant is going to get attacked by fruit fly and those lovely stone fruits. Try netting. But if you're going to spray as well, don't do it in terms of deterring fruit fly. Don't do it on a windy day. Don't do it in the middle of the day when it's really hot. And it's hard to find a still day, and certainly don't do it a day before it's going to rain. So, there's just a few things to keep in mind. And there's a lot of information on the containers. It's just about reading up and getting the knowledge.
There you go. We've chatted about heaps today, Mon, all things regarding fruit trees. We've talked about the Golden Delicious apple mixed with the Bartlett pear, talking about varieties of mixing fruit to create a fruit tree, talking about Hass avocado, Shepherd avocado, type A and type B. And of course, we'd answered a few questions about pruning grapevines, orange trees, and treating medfly as well. So we've tackled heaps today, Mon. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to chatting with you very soon.
Happy gardening, everyone. Thanks, Maddie.
That was actor, activist and Green Thumb storyteller Monica Main chatting with us all about fruit trees on today's segment. Monica will be back with us again soon for another edition of Suburban Farm Yarns.